This episode is brought to you by the mobile puzzle game Best Fiends. Hey everybody, you know by now that I love the game Best Fiends. It's the game everyone is talking about. I love it so much because it's a perfect break from my true crime research. It still really challenges my brain because it's a puzzle game, and you know how I love solving puzzles. But it's a casual game, so it doesn't stress me out, which is perfect these days. And lately, I've been using it as a fun way to connect with my friends and family, while still social distancing. It's fun to casually compete with friends, since we're not really doing that in person right now. This awesome mobile puzzle game is so much more than your average mobile puzzle game. It's 5-star rated with over 100 million downloads, thousands of fun levels, and tons of super cute characters to collect. They've created a whole world right on my phone. It's bright and colorful with great graphics, and there's a story about all these characters. I just unlocked Lapolian, and I love that he wears a cute little thimble as his crown, and holds a matchstick as a scepter. Plus, he has this awesome power that just blows things up, which is always kind of fun. And there are also new in-game challenges and events every month, so the game always feels fresh and you'll never be bored. You can even play the game without using Wi-Fi. No bandwidth? No problem. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on this game, so join me, my friends and family, and millions of Americans who are already playing this fun puzzle game. Download Best Fiends for free on the Apple App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
A fascination with the unknown has led me to research countless unsolved murders and missing persons cases. These victims are often forgotten in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Nevertheless, they need their cases recognized in order to keep investigators working on it. These victims also deserve justice and peace in the afterlife. Here I will share them all with you, giving both the facts and the theories, every Wednesday at 3:30 a.m. Check out The Great Unsolved for more information.
The Oracle Network. Look deeper.
This is True Consequences, a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico in the American desert Southwest. Welcome to this live stream that is going to be a major bummer, you guys. I'm so sorry. I know that's just kind of my style. So we're going to talk about the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell case, which is kind of a shit show. Not kind of a shit show. It is a shit show. I am probably not going to do this case justice in this hour, but I'm going to try. If you really want an in-depth look at this case, I would encourage you to look at some of the other podcasters that have done series on it. And one in particular is my friend Robin, who is a co-host on We Saw the Devil. That show has covered, I think, maybe 7 or 8 episodes specifically about this case. And so for those of you that know my show, you know that I only talk about New Mexico. But this case has really gripped my heart. And I figured that Get Vocal would be a great place for us to dive into this, just because it isn't part of my normal stream of episodes. And I can divert a little bit away from New Mexico for this. I also feel like it's important to tell the story of these kids who suffered a horrible fate at the hands of their mom. It's just horrifying. Anything to do with kids, I'm super passionate about. And for obvious reasons, you guys that know me know why. So this case is completely nuts, totally sad. There's so much death and conspiracy around these two individuals, and I don't think I'm going to be able to even scratch the surface of this in this hour. So again, I want to remind you, if you want a deep dive, check out Robin's podcast, We Saw the Devil. They're going to talk about it in depth. If any of you have thoughts or things that you want to contribute, grab a spot, jump in. I want this to be interactive. I did as much research as I could, but there is so many moving parts to this thing, and there's so much craziness that I'm not going to be able to get it all. So I'm sure I'm going to miss something. So if you guys know something, jump in here and totally add it. add to the conversation, please. So the biggest reason I wanted to cover this case is because I am super passionate about justice for children, especially those who are victims of abuse and murder. And this cause is very close to my heart. The facts of this case have been bothering me for months and months, especially as I've watched them unfold on the news. And I just decided that because of recent developments, I would want to try to bring Tylee and JJ's story to you guys. But hopefully you can help contribute to that conversation as well. So earlier this week, the news broke that there were bodies discovered or recovered from a property in Idaho, which belonged to Chad Daybell. The news confirmed the fears and the speculation that many in the true crime community had had for months already. And investigators have said that the bodies they found belong to two children. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's very likely that these bodies are Tylee and JJ. The fact that everybody in the true crime community was convinced that Lori murdered her kids doesn't make this any less sad or horrifying. Like, we all thought that. We all hoped that that wasn't the case, but unfortunately, it's looking more and more like that. Our suspicions have come true. So this is a story of JJ and Tylee and what their mother did to them. And this case involves murder as well as child murder and cult activity. So if you can't handle that, you know, take care of yourself. Trigger warning. Be careful. It really is sad, Brandy. It's an awful case. I'm just feeling really overwhelmed with the details of it. This all started in... at least the public knowledge of it started in September of last year. Two children went missing, 17-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old JJ Vallow. The disappearance of these kids led to a nationwide search and heavy media coverage, which, if you haven't seen it, it's been all over the news. The last place that Tylee was seen was Yellowstone in early September of last year. And JJ was last seen in class September 23rd. The kids were never reported missing by their mother. While they were missing, their mom, Lori, seemed completely unworried and unconcerned with the fact that the world was looking for her kids. In fact, she was in Hawaii getting married to her fifth husband, Chad Daybell. Chad is a doomsday prepper podcaster. Put that in air quotes. As well as an author. But before we go there, let's look at some of the events that led to the kids' disappearance. Lori married her fourth husband, Charles Vallow. He was an investment banker. They got married in 2006. And in 2012, they adopted a little boy named JJ. And JJ was the son of Charles's nephew. So Charles Vallow's nephew. The family could not take care of him because of a bunch of circumstances. And Lori and Charles decided to take him in. He had special needs. He had autism. And they felt like he was a perfect addition to that family. And from all outside perspectives, it seemed like a very loving situation, at least at that time. Okay. So from all outside appearances, Lori and Charles had a happy marriage and a happy family. And they lived in Arizona outside of Phoenix. And everybody seemed to think that everything was great. They interviewed on Dateline. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but on Dateline, they interviewed one of Lori's best friends. And she talks about how happy Lori and Charles were together and how much they doted on their kids. So for all of the people that were around them, what we're about to talk about is way outside of character for what they were, from what they were used to seeing from them. Okay. So the family moved to Kauai and everything seemed to be going perfectly until Lori started to become obsessed with a man named Chad Daybell. So a bunch of strange stuff started to happen as she found this author's books and podcast. She started doing these weird things. Like, she disappeared for almost 2 full months. She just took off and left her kids with her husband and didn't say anything. She was just gone. When she came back, she did this crazy thing where she found out her husband was on a business trip and she canceled his return flight. And not only that, but her and a friend went to the airport to steal his truck so that he had no way to get home once he eventually was able to fly home. Around the same time, she allegedly stole $35,000 from his business account. So he was an investment banker and he was helping clients or whatever. And he had some commission-based employees that worked for him. And because of her withdrawing that $35,000, he was unable to pay them. And then that created a whole bunch of issues for him in terms of people filing complaints and threatening to sue him because they weren't getting paid for work that they had done for him. She started to share these really strange theories about spirituality with her friends and family, including Charles. And she said things like, "I'm a translated being." She said that she was a god and that she was meant to help usher the chosen people into the end of days, into Armageddon, and to create a safe haven for these people and to create a safe haven for these people and stay with them until Christ came back to the rapture. Thank you, Melissa. Yeah, so to prepare for the rapture and to ride out Armageddon. So they were going to create this like commune where they had all of these non-perishable foods and weapons and stuff like that to ride out the end of the world. Jen said, "God loves a prepper." I mean, somebody has to. They were going to ride out the rapture. And all of these ideas that she got came from Chad Daybell. She also believed that, and she told this to Charles, her husband. She said he had a demon inside of him. And she believed that he was already dead. And so part of this like crazy spirituality that she was a part of believed that your soul could leave your body at any time, which would make you basically dead. Like you would already be dead. And then that would leave your body open for a demon or a zombie to take over. So she believed that her husband, Charles, was already dead and that a demon was living inside of his body. So that kind of sets the scene for what's going to come, and it gets bad. It gets way worse. Okay, so Chad Daybell, he is a religious author who wrote several books about the end of days. I believe they were classified as fiction. He also had a podcast that he helped produce with a bunch of other people called Preparing the People or Preparing People. And he produced this podcast to share his belief about the end of times. And Lori became completely obsessed with his work. So one day she just decided to leave her family. Her husband came home. She was gone. Everything was gone. And the thought is that she left Arizona to go meet with Chad. This is when she started like texting her husband saying, "I'm the chosen one. I'm a god. I have supernatural powers." And she also believed that she could talk to the dead. It's possible, I guess. She told her husband that if he attempted to stop her from following her destiny, that she would murder him. Again, completely rational. As like any rational human being would, he was like, "You guys, peace out. I'm done. I'm going to file for divorce." So Charles was afraid for his kids, and rightfully so. His wife was acting completely irrational and even manic. And on the Dateline NBC special about this case, it's 2 hours long. One of her best friends talks about how Lori left Arizona, flew to Kauai to meet her friend, and told her, "Hey, guess what? I'm a translated being. I'm here to help usher in the end of the world, and I'm going to create a space for 144,000 people that are chosen to go to heaven. And you're one of those people. And all you have to do is leave Kauai, leave your family, leave your kids, leave your husband, come with me to Rexburg, Idaho, and we're going to ride out Armageddon, and you're going to go to heaven with me." And her friend was like, "No, peace." So Lori basically, after that meeting, just took off. She went back to Idaho and left Kauai. But her friend described her behavior as completely disorganized and manic. And it was completely out of character for the person that she knew when they lived in Kauai together. Okay, so Charles files for divorce. Lori is a god who can lead the chosen 144,000 people to heaven. And on July 11th, Charles went to pick up. So I'm sorry, you guys, my timeline might be completely screwed up. My apologies for that. But on July 11th, 2019, Charles went to pick up his son, JJ, from Lori's rental home, where Lori was living with her brother, Alex, and her daughter, Tylee, and JJ. So he goes to pick up JJ for school. Something happened. It's not very clear exactly what happened, but Charles ends up being murdered by Lori's brother, Alex. So you can hear the 911 tape. It's out there. Alex calls 911 on himself, and he claims that he shot Charles in self-defense. And he also claimed that Charles was being physical with Lori and that he shot him to protect Lori and Tylee. Lori claimed that Charles had left his phone in the house and she began snooping on it. And that's why he got physical and angry. They also claimed that Tylee grabbed a baseball bat to defend her mom and that Charles took it from her and threatened her with a bat. They said that Charles hit Alex in the head with a bat. So there's a body cam video of this whole situation when the police get there. And Alex is behaving in a really calm, strange way. Like, he's just completely chill. Nothing bad happened. He didn't just kill his brother-in-law. And you see him, he's just having a conversation like, yeah, this happened, blah, blah, blah. But he's also like dabbing at this cut on the back of his head. And the police are talking, the detectives talk about this and they say, like, there's no way that this tiny cut was caused by a blow to the head from a baseball bat. It's not possible. So that kind of throws out that whole theory. The other strange thing that happens on the body cam, Lori and Tylee apparently left the house to take JJ to school. They come back when the cops are there and the cops start interviewing them. Lori is completely aware of what happened. She already knew. She told the cops that she already knew, but she was just like, whatever, smiling, laughing, making jokes, not really even seeming to be concerned that her husband was murdered in her house. Everybody is just so freaking calm. Like, it is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, ever. Can't even describe it. I encourage you to go watch the body cam video because it's just, it's not the way you would expect somebody to react when somebody dies in their house, especially when they're shot in the chest in your house. Even if you hate that person, like if somebody died in my house and I hated them, I would probably still be freaked out that somebody died in my house. And the police and the detectives comment on the behavior of Alex and Lori and even Tylee. Tylee seems so matter of fact about everything. They take the kids and they take Alex and Lori to the police station. They interview them and it's just strange. So here's the other thing. Alex had already been arrested before, and that's for attacking Lori's third husband. And his name was Joe Ryan. He attacked him with a stun gun and he was arrested for assault. So he had a history of using physical violence to protect Lori. So the other thing that you need to know is that Charles was super strong and super fit, and he used to play baseball in college. So if he would have hit Alex in the back of the head with a baseball bat, he probably would have split his head open. That cut, it's just no way that it was caused by a bat. Things really just start to escalate. The crazy starts to escalate. Everything gets completely out of control. After Charles dies, she messages his kids and just says that your dad's dead. They ask her, you know, to clarify. They ask her, what happened? Can you tell me what happened? She doesn't respond. She just leaves it at that. Your dad's dead. The end. It's completely insane the way that she handled that. And so the kids are getting angry and they're getting frustrated and they're getting upset with her because she is not answering any of their questions. It didn't even sound like there was funeral or anything, and not the way that anybody in that situation, you know, normally would be expected to behave. Shortly after Charles died, Lori took the kids and they moved to Rexburg, Idaho to be closer to Chad Daybell. She left her husband or left her house in Arizona and moved to Idaho. The other person involved in this is her niece, Melanie. Lori's niece divorced her husband pretty quickly. He said that basically he was thrown off by it. Like, she just abruptly told him she wanted a divorce. And she also moved to Idaho and moved next door to Lori and Chad. And Alex also moved there. So all three of them were living in this townhouse kind of complex in Idaho. So her husband claims that Alex shot at him. This is Lori's niece, Melanie, claims that Alex shot at him. Identified Charles Vallow's Jeep as the vehicle that the shooter was in. And at first, he thought it was a paintball gun until he realized that his window was completely shattered. So he called 911. You know, they took a police report. There's this kind of idea that maybe Alex was trying to kill him. There's an interview with Melanie. She claims that she doesn't know anything about that. She does say that she probably shared with Alex that she was concerned and, you know, they were going through an ugly custody battle. So either Alex took it upon himself to go after her ex-husband, or Lori told Alex to do it, or Alex, you know, it's hard to know what happened. But here's the other thing. Chad Daybell was married at this time. So this whole thing's happening. He has a wife of like 29 years. Her name is Tammy. And pretty quickly after this incident, Tammy claims that she was also shot at by what she thought was a paintball gun. So she called law enforcement to report this incident. This is all just weird and insane. And I'm just giving you the information. I don't really know if that was Alex or not. It seems plausible that it could have been him. Unfortunately, Tammy died on October 19th, 2019. She died in her home. It seemed like natural causes. It seemed like non-nefarious circumstances. But 2 weeks later, Chad and Lori got married to each other in Hawaii. 2 weeks after his wife died. And it gets worse. So JJ's grandparents, Larry and Kate Woodcock. Larry and Kate Woodcock. So Kate Woodcock is Charles Vallow's sister. And they are the grandparents to Charles and Lori's adopted son, JJ. They started to become worried about JJ because they hadn't heard from him. And Lori was giving them a runaround, making excuses. And so they were just getting really sick of it. So they reached out to the police for help. And this is what started everything. If it wasn't for JJ's grandparents, it's hard to know how long it would have taken for law enforcement to become aware of what was happening with these kids. So the police started to ask questions and they arrived at Lori's townhouse. So the police were met by Alex and Chad outside of the house. And this is where it's like completely absurd. Alex told the police that JJ was with his grandparents in Louisiana. Like, how stupid could you be? He had no idea that the reason the cops were there were because the grandparents had made the call to the police. So he immediately lost all credibility in that situation. Very stupid. So of course he didn't know that. Then Lori, when they asked her, said that the kids were in Arizona with a friend when she was questioned. The police followed up on that lead and nothing happened. Like there was no kids in Arizona. So she was lying about that too. So the very next day, the police came with a search warrant to search through Lori's home. They also searched Melanie's home and Alex's home. However, the pressure had begun to build on Lori and Chad, and they took off to Hawaii, probably the same day that the warrant was executed on their houses. And then this caused the police, of course, it's like red flag, everybody. This caused the police to issue a nationwide warning about the kids. And this warning is what prompted a lot of news coverage and media to start hitting everywhere in the U.S. So the police are looking for the kids. The Woodcocks are looking for the kids. And Lori and Chad are in Hawaii having a great time, having a honeymoon. It was really bizarre. You can see some of the photos of them. The kids are missing and they're like on the beach dancing and singing. It's really crazy. The rest of the world is looking for her kids. Her older son is looking for the kids. The family is worried about the kids and they're on the beach having a great time. What kind of mom would do that? Just not even care that your kids are missing. But the older son really seemed to want to advocate for his siblings and to push his mom to do the right thing. He seemed like a really good kid. And he seemed to have his stuff together, which was awesome to see how well put together he was despite his mom being completely batshit crazy. Excuse me. In November, so now we're in November of 2019, Lori's niece Melanie starts using a Mormon-based dating app. And she met a man. Within 2 weeks of meeting, they were off to Vegas to get married. So if you remember, her husband was just shot at. She just suddenly asked for divorce, up and moved from Arizona to Idaho, met a man on a Mormon dating app, and within 2 weeks is going to Vegas to get married. She goes to Vegas to get married. Her and her husband, Ian, were not alone on this trip because Alex joined them in Vegas. And he also married a member of the Doomsday cult named Zulema. So according to Lori, Zulema could control the elements, which I guess would be like water and air and fire and that kind of stuff. So Zulema was allegedly able to control the elements. And so that was just strange, right? So Alex married Zulema. Melanie married Ian. Melanie and Ian go back to Idaho to move into the townhouse that was next door to Lori's. Alex and Zulema move back to Phoenix for some reason. And okay, this is crazy. 13 days after the wedding, Alex died. And prior to that, he was talking to Melanie, he was talking to Lori, and he was complaining about problems breathing. He was a completely healthy man, according to everybody. And so Alex suddenly dies out of nowhere. And there's like a 911 call from Zulema's son. And if you listen to it, it's completely strange. He says, hello. The 911 goes, yes, what's your emergency? And he's like, there's an older man named Alex and he's passed out or on my bathroom or something like that. And it's weird. Like that's his mom's husband, but he doesn't like, they ask him what the man's last name is and he doesn't know it. It's just all, it's a very strange situation. The whole thing is weird. He wasn't upset. You're right, Brenda. He wasn't upset. He was just like very calm. This man is completely dead in my bathroom or on my bathroom. I don't know, but it's completely suspicious. Not, I mean, you have Charles Vallow, husband of Lori, dead, right? You have Tammy Daybell, wife of Chad, dead. And now you have the brother who attempted to execute and successfully executed some of these people. He's dead. Plus the kids are missing. All right. So Alex was only 51 years old. The medical examiner is investigating the death. And there hasn't been any information released, but I think we can probably guess that there's some foul play here. So this is where things get even more strange, which you probably thought that was impossible, but I promise you it's going to get worse. Okay, so Melanie, Lori's niece, her husband was contacted by his ex-wife. She's seeing all this stuff on the news about his new wife's family, about the missing kids, about people dying. And she's like, hell no, I don't want my kids around this. So she calls him and says, you know what? I'm going to go to the police and I'm going to see what I can do about getting custody of the kids because this is insane and I don't want my kids around there. Like a regular mom, like an actual mother would do. So he says, you know what? Okay, why don't I go there to the police station with you and I'll answer whatever questions they want. I'll tell them whatever they want to know. So he gets there. He has no idea that the FBI are waiting in the interview room for him. And he meets with the FBI. They tell him that they want him to talk to his wife. This is Ian. This is Melanie's husband. Sorry if I wasn't clear about that. His ex-wife called and threatened to take the kids away. Oh, okay, cool. She told him that she was going to the police. He said he was going to meet her there to answer any questions they had. But the FBI was already waiting there for him. And they asked him to spy on Lori and Chad by wearing a wire while talking to his wife, which he agreed to do. He used the wire to try to see if they could find any information about Tylee and JJ. He did not divulge this information to his wife until 2 weeks after he had already started spying on them. And he kept track of all those conversations in a typed document. And his ex-wife actually found that document on a computer that she got from him after all of this happened. Like everybody said, Ian was wearing a wire. He typed up all these notes and the notes are completely insane, as you can imagine. So let's go through some of those points. Lori and Chad believed that people's spirits could leave their bodies and that they could be inhabited by evil beings. And they talked about the fact that Melanie's ex-husband was possessed. You're going to see a theme here. Okay. And they even described Alex as needing to take a shot at Melanie's ex-husband. Another shocking note was that Melanie had been told that JJ and Tylee were also possessed, but by zombies, and that they needed to die. Ugh, it's just so heartbreaking and terrible that, like, these people saw these innocent kids in that way. I'm going to have a hard time, like, not breaking down, those crying, babies, thinking about that. I mean, they were just so innocent, and they didn't deserve what happened to them. All right. So that was the gist of it. So basically, anybody that stood in their way was evil and possessed, and they felt like they had the authority and the power and the ability to kill whoever they wanted or whoever they felt was evil. And they felt like they really didn't do anything wrong.
Do you buy
it? Cults fast.
Do you buy that they really didn't believe they'd done anything wrong?
I mean, if you look at Lori's face in some of the hearings that she's in, yeah, I think she probably does think she did nothing wrong. She's smiling and joking and laughing.
I have a hard time. I have a hard time believing that she doesn't realize she did something wrong. I think that I just feel like she doesn't give a shit. Like, the whole thing is orchestrated. Like, the whole zombie thing and whatever. I mean, that's such bullshit, you know? I mean, I don't know. I have a really hard time with it, especially as a mom. I'm just like, how do you, your kids are possessed. Are you serious? Sorry, Alex, I'm just on my phone right now.
She's on her iPhone. There's no mic volume. She was either evil or insane or both. Yeah, I agree, Fern. I there's just no excuse for any of it. All right. So aside from that, so police figured out that Lori and Chad were in Kauai. And in January, they ordered Lori to produce the kids within 5 days. She completely ignored that order. And she was subsequently arrested and charged with 2 felony charges of desertion of an abandoned child and 3 misdemeanor charges of obstruction of an investigation. And she was extradited back from Hawaii, and her bail was set for $5 million, which is an obscene amount of money, but I think it's appropriate for what she did. All right. So did you watch the Dateline special at all, Ariel? Yeah. So they interviewed this woman named Angela, who was a former member of the cult. Which they're saying there's no cult. Everybody says that there's no cult, but yeah, if it walks like a culty duck and talks like a culty duck, it's probably a culty duck. So she stated that, this is Angela, stated that Chad was well-spoken, that he was very nice, and that he believed he could move beyond the veil and enter the spirit world. He believed that it was his job to bring people to his community and to train them to prepare for riding out the apocalypse. He convinced his followers to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on rations and supplies. He claimed that he was able to see people who had been possessed by demons. He also claimed to be able to banish those entities. And Angela talks about her boss was in this cult too. this is crazy. And so he would, like, she'd be like, hey, boss, QuickBooks is acting up. And so he would literally, like, go banish the QuickBooks demons from the computer. And then he believed, like, everything was fine, even if it still wasn't working or whatever. I don't know. Okay, so luckily, one of her friends who, like, gave a shit about her, Angela, intervened and said, like, you need to get out of here. This is crazy. You're going to end up dead. And when they asked her if she felt like she was brainwashed, it was really interesting. She said that grooming was a better word for it, which it just, that was like, yeah, that says a lot. They're not very different. It was interesting that she said that. Like, it made me start to think about a bunch of other stuff that could possibly have been happening there. All right. So she decided to leave the cult. And then guess what, you guys? She's possessed by a demon suddenly, because she was allegedly now trying to interfere with the work that they were doing. And demons get blamed for everything. It's so true. So true. So accurate. So she also said that Chad believed that his wife, Tammy, was possessed by a zombie and that she was supposed to have already been dead from a car accident. So this is before Tammy died. These were the things that he was saying to the cult. Which again leads you to believe that he obviously had something to do with her death. I mean, obviously, but that makes it more obvious. Tammy's body was exhumed. So she was buried in Utah because I think that's like a special place for the LDS faith. She was buried in Utah, and the Utah police exhumed her body in order to conduct a toxicology report to see if she had been poisoned or drugged. None of that information has been released yet. It's been a while since they exhumed her body. All right, but it seems clear that Tammy was murdered as a means to prevent her from interfering with Chad's relationship with Lori. And it seems that the pair were willing to dispose of anybody who would threaten their plans or their relationship. Not only the fact that they got married so quickly after Tammy's death, like that was shocking and that was telling, but get this. The pair had purchased two wedding rings on Amazon 17 days before Tammy died. Not only that, but they used Charles Vallow's Amazon account to buy the rings. It's all so icky, all of it. The Idaho Attorney General opened an investigation into Chad and Lori about the suspicious death of Tammy, and in an official document had named them as primary suspects in an investigation for conspiracy, attempted murder, and murder. So we'll see how that shakes out. I guarantee you that we're going to see an escalation in charges on both of them.
Hopefully.
Very soon.
I mean, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so too. I feel like I've only scratched the surface of this, you guys. Like, there's so much more on this case, and there's so probably a lot more that the police don't know and that we don't know that is probably even worse or equally as bad as what's happened so far and what's been released so far. The entire case is completely terrifying, and honestly, my heart breaks for those kids and like the people who love them and who cared about them, and to see Lori's oldest son completely gutted by the fact that his siblings are gone. It's just unnecessary. It's insane. It's everything horrible. All of it's terrible. Like, how could a mother kill her own kids and then go on fucking vacation?
I mean, that's psychopathy. That's not, I mean, there's no other, I mean,
it has to be.
The weird thing, this doesn't have a whole lot of similarities beyond just this. It reminds me of Diane Downs, you know, who is just like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Matricide.
Like this whole idea that like the kids are in the way. So they're expendable.
Yeah. It's the peak of selfishness, but also there has to be some, I think you're right, some psychopathy involved. Yeah. So Brenda's asking, did they think the world was going to end on July 22nd? Yes. That's the date that they believe that the world was going to end, July 22nd, 2020. So the police have not confirmed that the bodies that they found this week were JJ and Tylee, but they did confirm that they were bodies of children. And it seems unlikely that it would be anybody else.
Well, there's been back and forth on the JJ confirmation, hasn't there?
Yeah. The grandmother, I think, said that it was him. But then there's also some conversation that the way the bodies were disposed of, right, that it was pretty much impossible to tell. So the fact that these extreme beliefs are what drove Lori to do this is, I mean, upsetting isn't the word, but that's the only way I could come up with. Listen, you guys, if your God tells you to kill people, if your God tells you to kill children, go fucking find a new religion. Like, go find a new religion. I'm sorry. Yeah. The fact that they, or seek help. Yeah. The fact that they believe that this was all done in the name of God is just absurd to me.
This is a sect of Judeo-Christianity, correct? Mormonism. Okay. So
Mormonism.
It's a splinter of, right?
Which is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look actually at biblical precedent, you know, you've got Abraham being told to sacrifice his son and God stops him.
Well, and they relate what happened as that type of, it's that type of action. That's kind of what they're leaning on to justify what they're doing is Abraham.
He didn't
actually kill
him. That's
his son.
The whole point. is that Abraham was willing to do that to show his devotion to God. And God was like, yeah, no, I was kidding, bro. Like, seriously, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
JK, LOL.
That should be sacrifices my own. You know, so I don't.
Yeah. It's how many people are in this call? I don't know how many people.
Too many.
If you ask any of the people that are involved, yeah, they deny that there is a cult. So it's hard to say, right, but it does seem like more and more keep popping up. I'm hopeful that we're going to see additional charges brought on. I watched the bail hearing for Chad. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the prosecutor asked for $1 million in bail. His attorney asked for $100,000 in bail. The judge gave $1 million in bail. So it seems like so far the justice system is looking to make an example out of them. And I hope that that continues. And I hope that we get justice for these kids. Yeah, he did look very calm, Brenda. If you watch that, he's just like, no big deal, you guys. But she's the same way. They're both the same way. It's such a weird thing. Such a weird thing. That's the background, and that's the update for what's happening with the case. And I'm sure more is going to come out
Melissa.
Of it.
Hi, I'm sorry. I look like crap.
Hey, Melissa.
But I wanted to chime in and say really quick, did you guys see the new TikTok video that is circulating around of a supposed nanny? Who was, I just saw it on Facebook literally probably a couple hours ago, but people are already like claiming her credibility is not on point because she supposedly got a phone call from a correct area code from where all this is happening. And she's like, oh, I think it's the FBI because I know all these family secrets. I'm like, oh my God, stop trying to add yourself to the narrative.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you talk to the FBI? Like, makes me think that she's just
that's
like
so exploitive and disgusting. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay safe, New Mexico.
Thanks again for listening to True Consequences. Follow us on social media on Instagram and Facebook at True Consequences Pod and on Twitter at True Cons Pod. True Consequences is hosted, written, and produced by me, your host, Eric Carter Landine. Thanks for listening and stay safe, New Mexico.